Everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Gnome Head Pastor Podcast. And today, I want to talk a little bit about life in general, kind of the patterns of life. And we'll start off with, you know, thinking about trips or vacations. And whenever we plan a vacation or a trip, generally we carefully decide all the things we're going to do, right? We decide how we're going to get there. We decide what route we're going to take. We decide where we're going to stay. We almost never start that vacation or trip without carefully plotting out what our course is going to be. And those of you who know me know that I'm a planner. When it comes to what we're going to do and when we're going to do it, I want to plan it out. I want to know what's going on. And I know we're not on vacation right now. Right now we're in Arizona, but we left everything to work remote from our RV and to kind of follow, not kind of, but to follow what we feel like God has asked us to do. And there's really no plan other than to listen to what the Spirit puts on our hearts to do. And that's scary, right? And you know, that could be nothing, right? The Spirit could ask us nothing, or it could be something great. And I know while we were driving here, Lynn and I met, you know, a nice guy, and we prayed for his grandson, Hudson, and he had numerous surgeries at a very young age, but he's doing better now. And so we prayed. We prayed for people at various RV parks without him even knowing it. You know, it's hard because right now, you know, when we talk to people back home, they're like, oh, how's the ministry going? But we have no numbers to give them. We have no data. And as an IT guy, I'm all about the data. I'm all about the metrics, right? I want to show people how much we're doing and how much God is moving. But I have to realize that I'd be running ahead of God or I'd be making it more about me than doing God's work if I was worried about how do we tell the story to people. So I just need to step back and recognize that the only answer that is necessary is everything's amazing. Everything is in God's hands. It's just making life an adventure. That's what we're doing. We're on an adventure. And I think, unfortunately, too many people, they don't consider life as an adventure. And as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, what do we expect to receive from life? And probably more important, what we expect to give to life while we're in these adventures. So for me specifically, what do we expect to give to life during the months that come ahead of this adventure? You know, no two people look at life the same way. And as Linda and I begin this new adventure, we need to be aware that there is a journey in front of us. And the path that is going to be woven into a pattern, right? And that pattern is going to consist of opportunities. And that pattern may consist of tragedies, right? Little or big, I don't know, right? But it also may consist of victories. And so we got to understand that. I'm going to read a little bit of Galatians today. And then, you know, I'm not going to probably unpack every verse like I would normally do, but we'll just talk about it, right? And so I'm going to talk about Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. And it says, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves almost among sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." You see, there's this pattern, right? Life's pattern can contain unmeasurable opportunities. And among the joys of facing a new adventure in life is that joy of knowing that the opportunities for growth and the opportunities for service, they're ahead. They're ahead of us as long as we're willing to listen to God. You know, in this adventure that we're on, there are countless opportunities for growth. And when we stop growing in some fashion, right, if we don't grow, we begin to deteriorate or decay. And that's why we have to seize the opportunity for growth. We can grow mentally. When Christians have stopped studying the Word, when we stop cultivating those mental capacities, we begin to deteriorate, right? We begin to decay. There are these God-given mental abilities, and they dry up. So we have to be good stewards of our intellect. God gave that to us. We are responsible to God to nurture that, right? I think it's crazy to talk about that nurture because, you know, through our whole relationship, Linda has said, look, our love is like this plant, and we're going to cultivate it. We're going to nurture it. We're going to water it. We're going to feed it. We're going to grow it. It's not any different, right? We're responsible for that cultivation to God. Too many people, I think, are really satisfied with mental mediocrity is what I would call it. They're too satisfied with the status quo of where we are right now, and they're not willing to learn or grow anymore. We also have to follow the opportunities for service. You know, as Christians, we need to remind ourselves constantly that we have been saved to serve. We have been saved not to sit on the sidelines. You know, during this adventure, Linda and I, we need to serve God. And we can do that in a couple ways, right? I think, you know, a couple of those ways is just a meaningful Christian service. You know, Jesus simply, you know, he taught simply one of the greatest principles of service. And he said, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's Matthew 25:40. So during this time, we need to come out of that self-centeredness and make sure that we are available to the opportunities that God puts in front of us to minister to the sick, to the shut-ins, to the needy, to the people in the RV park, to the imprisoned, to the troubled, you name it, we should be available for it, witnessing for him as we serve. The other thing we got to do is we got to win souls, right? The greatest of all of our opportunities in life is the opportunity for that person-to-person witnessing, that personal touch with the number one intent of winning a lost person to Christ. The joy in winning someone's soul cannot be overestimated. I've read before that bringing a soul to Christ is the highest achievement possible in human life. I mean, that single statement is the reason when God calls you, you have to go. You can't just simply ignore that calling. You know, we're in Arizona. Today, as of recording this, we will have been here a week. Being here, we reached out to visit some different churches, right? So we wanted to visit a church, Calvary Chapel 14-6. It's a church that some of my local Bikers for Christ members go to, the Phoenix Chapter Elder does. And it's about 70 miles away. But we went and we visited. And the three tenets of this church were connect, do, and grow. And that really spoke to me and Linda. You know, it was a perfect message at a perfect time for us, you know, being in Arizona, because we feel that God has called us to be here, called us to pray for RV parks and the people that visit them, to just be here if anybody needs it. Even if those people never know about it, we pray for them. So the pastor of the church, the Calvary Chapel 14-6, told the story of the church yesterday while we were there. And he called it their Gideon story, and it was amazing. I can't even begin to tell you how the sermon made me feel. But the one thing I know that we were meant to hear was so many parts of this message, right? Like I said, it was 70 miles away. You know, a couple days ago, Linda had oral surgery to have a tooth removed. And it was much more than just removing a tooth, right? It, you know, there are stitches and a bone graft. And we could have easily said, look, we're not doing this today. We'll just watch church online. You know, there are so many things that could have gotten in the way. So many things that could have stopped us from attending the church that day. But God wanted us there, right? He wanted us to meet our local BFC family. But more than anything, he really wanted us to hear that message. And in that message, this pastor made a comment that I can't get out of my mind because it's so true. He said, we serve a foreign king that is coming to conquer the world. Think about that. We serve a foreign king. He is not of this world, and he's going to come one day to conquer it. I'm sure he said it much better than that, but that's the point I want you to get, right? We serve a foreign king. We are warriors. So with that is going to come some tragedy too, right? Life has this pattern that will contain tragedies. And as much as we would like to avoid these tragedies and avoid the heartache, it's going to be in that pattern. It's going to be woven throughout our lives for many, many years. And we need to realize that there are spikes that will thrust us along that path of growth, poking us in the back. Whether we want to go or not, we're going to go. You know, there's another tragedy that could come up, and that's the loss of your health, right? Paul's thorn in the flesh has been the subject of tons of discussions throughout the years. And some people say that it was a physical disability. Paul prayed for its removal, although that request was not answered in the way that he wanted it to be. And that's usually how God works, right? God doesn't answer it the way we want. He answers it the way we need or the way he needs us to see it. But Paul received enough grace to bear it. And he even saw that the Lord could bring glory to him through that. You know, Paul heard the master say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So I explained to you, in life we have opportunities and we have tragedy, but life also has victories. Every person can experience some measure of success in their life, right? Along that journey, you're going to see it. And hopefully Linda and I will see some measure of success as we're going down this journey, right? This adventure that we're on. And for the Christian, those of us who have joy of salvation in our hearts, we should experience victory. We should experience the victory of growth in grace. And at the beginning of this adventure, right? We want to be able to say how much better I know Christ now than I did before I started. You know, when we finish this adventure and we go back to Tennessee, we should know Christ more. That warm, that close fellowship with Christ, that's the reward. That's the victory for a Christian. And then there's that victory of leading someone to Christ, right? Every Christian should endeavor to win at least one person to Christ. Just one person in the next, I don't know, year. Just plant the seed. When the Holy Spirit has done his work of convicting and convincing, you will experience great joy in that person's coming to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then for the sinners, we're all sinners, by the way. Some of you listening today may have felt remorse over your spiritual condition or your sin, realizing that, you know, you may not look right to God, right? You're rebellious against the love that he gives you. I know that I'm rebellious against it still, right? I'm still a sinner. And you desire to have peace. You desire to have peace of the heart and peace of the mind. just accept Christ today as your Savior and experience the happiness, the joy, and that peace that you crave. Because it doesn't matter whether you're a sinner if you accept Christ. And every day you try to be better than yesterday. You try to be more like Christ than you were yesterday. And you try to turn away from that sin. For you, this will be the greatest victory of life. That victory of you surrendering to the King of Kings. Are you ready to face another adventure without him? I'm not. Are you spiritually strong enough to seize every opportunity available to you without him? I'm not. So why not face that next adventure with Christ? Why not take every opportunity available to magnify Christ in your personal life and in your efforts to win people for the kingdom? If you're not yet a follower of Christ, what is your next step? Look, in 1 John 5:4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." So look, today, turn to Christ. Change the patterns of your life and have joy. Hey, it's Rick. I want to thank you for listening to the Nomad Pastor podcast. If you want to talk, send me a message, hello@nomadpastor.org. If you have comments or questions, send me an email. I ask that you share this podcast if it touches you. Tell your friends, tell your family. You know, I think we're on episode 20-something, and we're not going to stop. And if you're looking for somebody to pray for you or you need a church, send me an email, and we'll get you connected to whoever we can. Again, thanks, and have a blessed day.